The scripture today is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 7 through 15. Hear the word of the Lord. When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. The word of the Lord.
Let us pray. O God, by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, give us understanding into who you are, that as we come to you from day to day, through years, on into the future, we may do so not with fear, but with joy, knowing that we are accepted by our Father who is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. There is a get acquainted exercise that I sometimes use with new committees and small groups, people who have never met each other or who do not know each other well. It consists of several non-threatening questions that each person in the circle answers in turn. The first question is, where did you live between the ages of 7 and 12? Many people can answer that question with the name of a single city or town or village, though I must confess that those answers are becoming increasingly rare as families respond to military orders or corporate transfers. And so some people will reel off a list of 3 or 4 different cities they've lived in during those critically important and formative years between the ages of 7 and 12. What about you? Where did you live between the ages of 7 and 12? The second question is, how did you heat your home at that time? And depending on the age of the participants, the answers may range all the way from wood and coal to gas and electricity. In fact, there are some who scratch their heads and say, I don't know how we heated our home back then. The home was always warm, but they never thought to ask how that came to be. The third question becomes a little more personal. Where was the center of warmth during those years between the ages of 7 and 12? Where was the center of warmth? Some answer that question with a place. It was the kitchen, or it was the family room, or it was that floor furnace, you know, that grate in the floor where the hot air came up from the furnace in the basement. Others answer the question with a person. It was their mother, it was their father, it was a grandparent, it was a favorite neighbor. And again, some have to confess that there was no center of warmth in their home between the ages of 7 and 12 due to an unfortunate divorce or the death of a parent or a sibling. Having asked those three questions, I explain that what we have been doing is tracing the sources of security during those very formative years in our lives. Because early on, of course, our security comes from parental care and feeding, the cuddling of a mother and a father of the baby. And then as we grow older, we may reach out to a good friend or a neighbor for an additional source of security. It may be an uncle figure or an aunt figure. Somewhere about the age of 18, we leave home. We cut the apron strings. We strike out on our own. We leave behind the shelter of our own room and the warmth of our parents' embrace. And so now we must make new friends. We must find new security in the college dormitory or in the office where we work. But then suddenly our friends move, or we are transferred across country. And so we must start the process all over again. Eventually, at some point, our parents die. And when we are bereft of their love and the refuge they have always afforded, suddenly our sense of security is so threatened, and we wonder, will we ever be secure in this life? Having said that, having explained the reasons behind asking these questions, I then proceed to ask the fourth question. And that question is, when, if ever, did God become more than just a word to you? And I ask that question because all other sources of security are transient. They are temporary. They are short-lived. Eventually, they all disappear and are gone. Only God can provide the bedrock security we all need. And so I now ask the question of you. When, if ever, did God become more than just a word to you? According to Jesus, God is not only more than just a word. God is infinitely more than any God you have ever imagined, and less. For if the word God stirs up images of a deity so majestic, so holy other, that God appears to you to be inaccessible, unapproachable, unavailable, then Jesus invites us to consider that God is less than that. God is closer than that. God is more personal than that. God is more intimate than that. Pray then in this way, our Father in heaven. Now Jesus spoke and taught in the Aramaic language, and in Aramaic the most common word for Father was the little two-syllable word Abba. Abba. According to Mark 14:36, Jesus himself addressed God as Abba when he prayed that agonizing prayer in Gethsemane on the last night of his life. Abba, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. And so we may be very confident that the term Jesus taught his disciples and teaches us to use when we address God is that very same term. Abba, our Abba in heaven. It is absolutely imperative that we hear Jesus invite us to use this word when we address God in prayer, because Abba is a term of intimacy and endearment. What did you call your mother? What did you call your father when you were a child? What was the most simple, the most endearing term that you used for one of your parents? It was no more intimate than this term, Abba. You see, every language has its term of endearment for one's father. It might be Papa, or Fate, or Tate, or Daddy. We, of course, drop those terms, don't we, when we grow up? Oh, I'm too old to call my father Daddy any longer. Although I must tell you that when my middle daughter comes for business in Washington, as she did last week with Capital One Corporation down at Tyson's Corner, she walked in the door and said, Papa, hi. She still uses the intimate term. Most of us do not. But biblical people did all throughout their life. A mature son or a daughter still called their father Abba. They still celebrated the closeness, the intimacy of that father-child relationship. If you're a parent, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You want your children to enjoy intimacy with you. You hope that your children will call you by those intimate terms. In fact, do you remember when your child was just beginning to bubble and talk a little bit, and you hoped that the very first word that would come out of their mouth would be, if you were the mother, you wanted it to be mama. If you were the father, you wanted it to be daddy. Of course you did. Why? Because those simple syllables reflect the love that we lavish on our children. They reflect our care and our commitment, our strength and our protection. We want them to see us in that intimate relationship. We want to be to them mama and daddy. And when it comes to God, our relationship with our parents, what we call our parents, how we see our parents, is absolutely decisive for how we will see God and how we will relate to God. If our earthly parents are distant and judgmental, if they criticize us for the slightest infractions, if they withhold praise when we do well, then it will be very difficult to believe that God is anything else than a cosmic tyrant bent on robbing us of our joy. But if, on the other hand, our homes are warm and trusting, if we are told again and again by our parents how very special we are, then it will not be at all difficult to believe that God sees us as very special, that God has only our very best at heart, and that God's love for us is steadfast and abiding and unending. And as we have just sung in that wonderful hymn, Children of the Heavenly Father, nothing in heaven or on earth can ever separate us from the love of God, from the love of Abba, our Father. And that is our Lord's intention when He teaches us to call God Abba. By the way, it is a name that no other rabbi ever taught their disciples to use of God. Why? Well, because God was thought to be too high and too holy for so intimate a term as that. But Jesus knew better. Oh, Jesus knew better. And out of His own intimate relationship with God, Jesus invites us to call God Abba, Father. And in so doing, to understand that we are very special to God, very precious to God, and that the heart of God is open to us always, anytime, day or night, any circumstance. He is God, our Abba, our Father. By the way, please do not overlook the plural pronoun in this address, our Abba. In fact, all the pronouns in the Lord's Prayer, have you ever noticed this? All the pronouns in the Lord's Prayer are in the plural. You will search in vain in this prayer for I, me, or mine. God is our Father, which makes us brothers and sisters in Abba's family. And that means, in turn, that I will never ask anything of Abba Father that I will not be willing to share with you. It means that I will not pray to be enriched personally or to gain some private advantage. Rather, I will pray for empathy to be a worthy father, so that my children will not only have an intimate relationship with me, but will learn through me and through that relationship to see God as their Abba. I will pray for the integrity to be a reliable leader for this congregation and any other that I may serve, so that through that integrity and through that relationship, we may understand that God is a God of integrity. He is Abba. He loves us. He is there for us. And I will pray for the wisdom to be a helpful friend, so that in all of my personal relationships and pastoral counseling, others will come to understand that because I am not distant, because I am not 6 feet above contradiction, no matter how high this pulpit may be, neither is God. For God is Abba. And I want everyone in the world, everyone I touch, everyone I meet, to know that God is not a foe, but God is their friend. In short, the Lord's Prayer puts me in touch not only with the open heart of this Heavenly Father, but with the empty hands of the Father's children, hands that need to be filled. We receive then not to hoard, but to share. We pray, Abba, Father, not to elbow our way to the head of the line, but to wrap our arms around everyone else who's waiting in line and let them know that I too am there for them just as God is. Well, let me rephrase that fourth question, if I may. Earlier I asked, when, if ever, did God become more than just a word to you? Now I ask, when did this God, when did the Abba, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, become more than just a word to you? When did God become your Abba? Has God become your Father? William Barclay once told a charming story. The story of a Roman emperor who returned to Rome with all of the spoils of a victorious campaign. He was leading the captives in his train, and behind them came all the booty that he and his army had captured. And of course the crowds lined the streets, and it was all that the legionaries could do to hold people in check. At one point the parade passed in front of the reviewing stand, where the empress sat with her smallest son. As the emperor drew near, the little boy jumped off the platform, wiggled his way through the crowd, tried to dodge through the legs of a tall legionnaire, but the legionnaire caught him and he said, "Young man, you can't do that. You can't run out there." See, the little boy wanted to go out and join his father. "You can't do that. Don't you know who's in that chariot? That's the emperor." The little boy laughed. "He may be your emperor," he said, "but he's my father. He's my father." God may be emperor of this world, or as we say in the Apostles' Creed, the Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth. Yes, but first we say, "I believe in God, the Father." And Jesus this morning is inviting every one of you to address this God as Abba. God is your Father. And you are free to run to your Abba anytime you wish. Thanks be to God.